Are you all ready for the trip of a lifetime? Don't bother to pack. We're traveling light. Destination? Zion, the beautiful city of God. Tour guide will be our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Departure time? Unknown. It could come like a thief in the night. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Paul tells us in Thessalonians. When Christ comes again as King of Kings, all the earth shall see and tremble. Christ's second coming will be the greatest demonstration of power and glory in the history of mankind. He comes not an infant in Bethlehem born. He comes not to lie in a manger. He comes not again to be treated with scorn. He comes not a shelterless stranger. He comes not to Gethsemane to weep and sweat blood in the garden. He comes not to die on the tree, to purchase for rebels a pardon. Oh no, glory, bright glory, environs him now. At his first coming, he was the Lamb of God who was crucified on the cross. At his second coming, he will be the Lion of Judah, reigning on his throne. Every eye shall see him. Some ask, why is he coming? To gather his elect and take them home. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We must yield ourselves to his Spirit here and now, so that we may be ready for our Lord's appearance. What could be more hopeful or joyful for true Christians than getting ready to leave? The return of Jesus to gather his people from this earth is the grand theme of the Bible. One verse out of every 11 in the New Testament speaks of this momentous event. It is mentioned 2,500 times in Scripture. How can we ignore it? This earth-shaking event is the ultimate goal of all Bible prophecy. A visitor to the school classroom gave a talk to the youngsters. Then he said, I'm coming back again sometime, and I'm going to give a prize to the one who has the cleanest desk. But when are you coming back? Was the question. That I cannot tell, was the answer. A little girl who was noted for her disorderly habits announced to the other children that she intended to win the prize. You The schoolmates jeered. You will never get it. Your desk is always out of order. But I mean to clean it the first of every week. Yes, but suppose he should come at the end of the week. Then I'll clean it every morning, she responded. But suppose he comes in the afternoon? She thought a while. Then she said, I know what I'll do. I'll just keep it clean. It must be with those who love their Lord's appearing. They must be ready all the time. They must keep their lives clean through his grace. They know not when he may come, at evening, at midnight, in the morning, or at noon. They must remember the Saviour's words, were not get ready, but be ye ready. Do you remember ready, steady, go? At school race day, you were just about toppling over the time go came. You were eager to run the race. Are you still eager to run the race? How are you doing it? Getting to know God is the greatest blessing we can receive. And sharing that knowledge is the greatest gift we can give. We should ask God to guide our steps towards those who need the hope that only comes through the Lord and his word, the light in the darkness. Jesus' first coming to this earth had been distinctly foretold in the prophecies of the Old Testament. His second coming is foretold in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. There will be some who will not be surprised, some who will be ready, some will be watching for the signs of the times. Yes, Jesus said, there shall be signs. Some are saying climate change. Governments want to throw billions of pounds at it. It's God shouting to the world, the end is nigh. This little article I'm going to read to you came from Adventist World, written by Jan Paulson, and it was called The Clock. Time is passing. We are inexorably moving toward the climax of history, the return of our Lord. But time has a habit of slipping quietly by. We become desensitized. We pacify ourselves with the thought that this is how it's been for ever so long. Tomorrow will continue on just as today. We slide into complacency. We think, well, I'm well intentioned. My behavior is such as of a good Adventist. The stark reality is this. If we aren't serious about the passing of time, if the second coming of Christ isn't a living reality for us, then we'll fall asleep. We'll slide into a spiritual coma. Does this mean we have to live in a state of anxiety or paranoia? No. It simply means being alert to the passage of time, and the closeness of Christ's return. It means allowing this reality to shape our daily choices, large and small. We can't afford to ignore the rapidly closing door of history. Now, you may think you have heard this before. They say repetition is the mother of retention. Lord Shackleton's expedition to the Antarctic. On one occasion, he had to turn back and leave some of his men on Elephant Island amid snow and ice. They were in desperate need of food and other supplies. Shackleton realized that the only hope was for him to go and get help for them. By heroic efforts, he reached the island of South Georgia, made a perilous trip over snowy mountains, and finally came to the settlement, where he obtained another ship and the needed supplies. Then he started back for the men. He tried again and again to reach Elephant Island, but failed every time. Fog, storm, and ice blocked the way. Suddenly, one day there appeared an opening through the ice leading to the island. Quickly he ran his ship through this channel, got his men on board, and came back out again just before the ice closed together. The whole thing was done in half an hour. When the excitement was over, Lord Shackleton asked one of the men who had stayed on the island, "How did it happen that you were all packed and ready for my coming? You were standing on the shore ready to leave on a moment's notice." The man replied, "Sir, you said you would come back for us, so we never gave up hope. Whenever the sea was partially free of ice, we rolled up our sleeping bags and packed our things, saying, 'Maybe Shackleton will come today.' We were always ready for your coming." It is for all believers today to remember that the Lord is coming. Brothers and sisters, are you ready for the trip of a lifetime? Am I? Are you, Harry? Willing. That was ready. We're on to willing. God is willing that all should have eternal life. Who hears the still, small voice today? Are we making too much noise ourselves? Or watching too much television? Or tuned in to the ring of our phones? Can God get a word in? The Holy Spirit speaks in a normal voice, but we must be listening and willing to do the everyday things we are asked. Us just obeying God's voice can be a miracle to the one on the receiving end of the task. We are God's channels. Romans 10:14. But how are people to call upon him who they have not believed? In him who they have no faith, on whom they have no reliance? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? We cannot use the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is to use us. Through the Spirit, God works in his people to will and to do of his good pleasure. Desire of Ages, page 672. This promised blessing of the Holy Spirit, he is ready to supply every soul according to the capacity to receive. Don't underestimate what God can do in your life if you obey him. God will use anyone who is willing. He uses you to change someone's destiny. And in 1904, Ellen White wrote, "Fulfill the role he has given you and do your best. God will be glorified in the example you set. Before the heavenly universe and the church and the world, you will be unmistakable evidence that you are God's sons and daughters." Our salvation is not based on works, but how could we not want others to be blessed as we have been blessed? How many of us are out there saving lives one way or another? My son-in-law, Steve, Harry's dad, was a member of the Great Yarmouth and Godalston lifeboat for 25 years and coxswain for 9 years. One must be willing for a job like that. I went to him, pen and paper in hand, a few weeks back. "Is there any event that sticks in your mind, Steve, about your service?" Strangely, it wasn't of them involved in a rescue at sea. He tells, "One remembered Sunday, the lifeboat went to lay a wreath in the harbour in the late 1980s. They were hit by a wave, were knocked down." Oh, sorry, I'm going to put a bit before that. "They went to lay a wreath in the harbour in the late 1980s. And just as they laid it, the Coast Guard called them up to go to the assistance of a coaster which was listing at 30 degrees and losing its deck cargo of timber. But they were hit by a wave, were knocked down. The capsize switch kicked in and stopped the engines. The header cap came off and filled the engine room with steam, which they thought was fire. And after that, they could only start one engine. They had to call Harwich to take over. And they limped home to Yarmouth at midnight. But I saw it in it that everyone needs rescuing, even the rescuers." Yes, he saved lives and got the award. People are willing to put themselves at risk to save lives, but that will be only a temporary fix. They still shall surely die. But sure, it is giving them another chance. We are talking about saving from eternal death. I remember a long time ago being taken shopping to Argyle Street, Glasgow, Lewis's department store, Saturday afternoons. At the entrance, one side, a tenor singing in Italian. The other side, a man with a wooden placard back and front of his body. Printed on it, "The end is nigh." Are you telling people Jesus is coming? We know he is coming. He has told us. Set your house in order. Set your lives in order. Make ready for your final move. Are you ready for the trip of a lifetime? Am I? Are you, Harry? Able. God is able. He hears our every word. I'm reading an article here, and it says, this was a true story my dad told me when I was a small boy. I'm now 91 years old. It was an American newspaper. My dad was a carpenter. A farmer wanted him to replace a pair of gateposts that had rotted. He told Dad to cut some oak trees large enough to hew 1 foot square posts and long enough to make them solid in the ground for the gate to hang without sagging. My dad had just finished the job when the farmer came out to inspect the job. He was well pleased and said, "John, the good Lord himself could not destroy these posts. Come on up to the house and I will pay you." It had been clouding up for the past hour and it started thundering. Lightning was flashing all over the sky. Then there were 2 very loud crashes and a tremendous explosion. They rushed outside to find the 2 gateposts splintered into small kindling wood and big holes in the ground where the posts were set. The farmer looked, then said, "John, the good Lord can do anything he sets his mind to do. I guess you will just have to cut and put in 2 more gateposts." We are able as long as we have breath in us. We are not just able, we're more than conquerors, strong in his might. Ephesians 6:10. I was the youngest member in this church congregation at one time. See how the years go? One never knows when one's human ableness will diminish, body or mind. So strike while the iron is hot. James 5:16. Pray. The fervent, faith-filled prayers of righteous men are powerful. Pray for the salvation of the lost, for workers to go out for the final harvest in these last moments before Christ's return. Tomorrow, some of these souls may be where we can never reach them again. The time of the coming of the law of Christ depends upon God's will. The Lord is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Sweet promise, I will come again. Go preach this gospel to all men. Come quickly, Lord, my soul doth say, and bring that happy day. None will be able to hide from their eyes the brightness of his coming. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Are we all ready for the trip of a lifetime?
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans we made put an end to you. I walked out on the morning and I wrote down the song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me to make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. And I won't make it any other way. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. I've been walking my mind to an easy time with my back turned towards the sun. Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around now. There's hours of time on the telephone line to talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces on the ground. Well, now I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you somehow one more. Thought I'd see you one more time again. There's just a few things coming my way this time around. Oh, now I thought I'd see you. I thought I'd see you.